Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are so glad you are on board. Thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. Reminding you, coming up tomorrow night, we're going to be out on the road again. And it's Who's on Third, by the way. Who's on Third? Old World 3rd Street, downtown Milwaukee. Looking forward to it tomorrow night. Scott Grodzki from CBS 58 is going to be there. So is our Green and Gold analyst, Paul Emig, live on site. I'll be there. The Bud Light Street team's going to be there, and we cannot wait to get down there. That's it'll be our first time doing a broadcast at Who's on Third. So come on by and say hi tomorrow night. That is all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Joining us here in our Bear Sunroom studios on site at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, which is where you can track us down, by the way, for the toy drive down here. Joins us each and every year, Marcus Hanel, the bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. How you been? Well, we got to get you the other mic. Put that one on. Try that one there. See which one's on. There
right,
you go.
There we go.
There we go.
All right. No, doing very well. Thank you very much.
So, I got to ask you, man. All the compare, because I'm just watching the run you guys went on at the end of the season, which was fantastic. But all the comparisons between that and 2011, and enthusiasm and all that kind of stuff. It had a different vibe. I think Ryan Braun said it best was. In 2011, you had a lot of stars. In 2018, you had some guys that were becoming stars, but so deep, and anybody could do anything at any point in time. Was it just fun and exciting?
Yeah, I think everyone saw that they had a role in the making of the team getting to the playoffs.
Right.
And no matter if they were a first-time rookie that was playing sometime, and it got called up like Woodruff. You know, he wasn't even much with the team,
right?
And he had a huge role in the playoffs for us. So I think everyone felt like they had some part of it. And I think it was pretty special in September when you had September call-ups. There was no first-timers.
Right.
Someone had been in the club during the season the whole time at some point in the season.
Right.
So the depth, Bronny said it very well. You know, we didn't have any. I mean, we had the Yelich, those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Where the 11 team was built on superstars. But these guys this year were just a whole collaboration of guys who were, man, all in it to win it, and it was a blast.
Yeah, it's let me ask you this. What is it like winning a game 163 in Chicago, and as the bullpen catcher, the only time we can see you is on that goofy TV that they have down there underneath the bleachers because that's where they put the bullpen. What is it like down there not being – you got to run out of that thing to try to work your way to the field, right?
Well, yeah, we were underneath watching the games. You know, I mean, the game, we have monitors there. We're watching it. You know,
uh-huh.
And you could see guys underneath were kind of finding their spots that felt their lucky spots.
Yeah.
You could see guys starting to waver back and forth, you know. So you're just waiting. And you could see as that last out was going to be made, all the guys were just ready to bounce out that door and fly out there.
Yeah.
And so – Lee, Robinson Diaz, myself, were like, hey, you go out, we'll collect everything.
Right.
And we collected everything, and then you made our way out to the mound, and was able to join them in the celebration out there, which was so sweet.
Yeah, that was very cool to be able to celebrate there. What was it like? I mean, the understanding of where you celebrated in St. Louis to clinch at least a postseason berth, and then to win in Chicago to win the division there. I mean, that had to be like giant 800-pound gorillas off your back.
Huge. I mean, those other teams in your division that over the period of time that I know I've been around there, they've been the top of the division.
Yeah.
They're the ones you're always chasing. So to knock out St. Louis when we did, and then the year before we lost in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to celebrate there.
Right.
To knock them out, to celebrate there. And then to go to Chicago and come back and win there when they did not know we're coming there to do that to them.
Right.
You know, the cool thing about the whole thing is we found out after we clinched in Chicago, the Cubs had never clinched this season, even to celebrate their postseason bid.
Yeah.
They think, oh, we'll just celebrate when we win the division. So hearing that made that even sweeter for us.
Right.
You know? And then to beat that arch rival that you have in Chicago, and then to go into the NLDS and beat Colorado, who beat you the year before by one game to get in the playoffs.
Right.
So you just went and you notched off all these guys,
right,
all these teams that the previous year had did that to you.
The celebration in Chicago, I think, was satisfying for a lot of – and to me it was great for baseball because now it's inflamed the rivalry. Now there's something – there's some there, you know what I mean? But you've been there you've been there for a long time. I saw you when Ned Yost was fired and Dale takes over, and then you get to the postseason. And then I saw you when Ron Renneke and company, and they get to the postseason. What was it like this year with Counts at the helm guiding these guys and managing, probably doing more managing than any of those other managers in prior history because of what he had to do with the bullpen.
Yeah, you know, it was the game of baseball has changed, you know, with the analytics being a part of it. One, you know, you're matching lineups more instead of like in 11, you just kind of threw out your guys. Here's right. your guys. You guys are playing. Go get them. We're going to roll with your starters. All right, end of the game, you got your bullpen. This year, the mix and matching of lineups, the hitting strengths, the your pitching matchups, there was so much that was going on. The council did an amazing job. He always he was letting these guys know that we had a World Series team on our hands. You know, we felt one game short, but the job he did, using everybody, making everyone feel a part of it, it was a great feeling.
So, and by the way, we're talking with Marcus Hanel, the Brewers bullpen catcher. So going through, he rattled some cages when it came to baseball. This was not something that people are used to seeing. Even the traditionalists are saying, wait a minute, this is never going to sustain. And they did, all the way up until the final game. So what is it like for you, for Lee Tunnell, to know that your starter is just your opener who may go in and throw an inning, who may throw a batter, who may throw three innings, but yet your next strategy is this? How tough was it this year studying and knowing and understanding what the roles were for everybody as opposed to years past?
Well, I think, you know, if this goes all the way back to the beginning of the season, when Corey Knebel got hurt, we'd have guys step up in different situations. So they had different roles. They pitched multiple innings. And then that last month in September when we were chasing the other teams, we knew we had so much depth and that we could use that depth to our advantage to hit matchups that we wanted to get us to the next level. In the playoffs, it was another thing. It's like we still knew we had a lot of guys who could go multiple innings. Mm-hmm. We knew if we could maybe make their lineups not as strong,
right.
we had the matchups that could take care of it. So the guys were already on board. They kind of been pitching a little bit like that during the season.
A lot of the young guys came up as starters and didn't need to eat up innings. They just were eating up 2 and 3 rather than 5 and 6.
Right, and if you get guys in that game who could be multiple guys, multiple inning guys out of the bullpen, you know, maybe your starter goes 2 innings or what it is. All of a sudden, the next guy's going 2, 3. You're where you're at. You know, even you're looking at some of the big-time starters in baseball. You look at the world, David Price, those guys, they weren't – some games they did, yes, but Chris Sale was going 4 and 2/3. They were getting to the fifth, and then it was a bullpen game after
right.
that. So we just added another guy sometimes. Starter right. goes 2. We want another guy who leveraged us to the fifth, and then, bam, we had our bullpen. So it is different. People are not accustomed to that, but that was our strength, and that's the way we went about it, and I thought we did a great job with it.
Is it a little disconcerting? Because one of the things you and I talked about last year was everybody's back. Consistency means everything. For guys that are coming into that clubhouse, it's like a family. Travis Shaw said the same thing when I saw you guys down in spring training. He said, it's like nothing changed. You were ready to go. I mean, day one, everybody was ready to go. Now you had a big shakeup in your coaching staff. How different is that?
You know, we'll see.
It's not like you haven't been there before, but for the guys who like routine, this is different.
It is. But you trust it in David. You know that DJ, you know, had a great opportunity to go to Cincinnati. You can't blame someone to do that.
If you can make more money and better your family situation, absolutely.
Especially in this game on the coach's side, it's not like in football or in basketball where assistants are really getting taken care of. So for him to be closer to home and do that, man, great for him, you know. Sometimes there is a time you just need to change a different voice. You know, maybe DC just didn't feel he was connecting the same way or he left him at a good spot. And, you know, we'll see going in. I think the great thing is, though, we are going to have a good core group of guys, the same
right.
players who've been there. So they know the environment. They'll be able to breathe to the younger guys. This is what we're building on. So
right.
I think that's going to be a great piece of it. And, you still have Council, who's the head of it all. So
mm-hmm.
That hasn't changed. So he's going to have the same kind of message, and he's going to instill on us coaches to give the same one to the players.
Going to go ahead and take a quick break. We're broadcasting live out here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet. Marcus Hanel, the bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers, joining us here in studio in our Bears Sunroom studio here for the toy drive. So if you can drop off a new unwrapped toy, if you can drop off some cash, if you can make a donation online, we cannot do this without you. So please, please give us a hand in helping the kids from the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin and the satellite charities along with it. Again, we can't do this without you. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are glad you are on board today. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. As Quick Trip has been so good to us, as always, don't forget, if you buy a select gift card from any participating Quick Trip or their partners, being Tobacco Outlet, Tobacco Outlet Plus Groceries, you can, if you have the Quick Rewards card, by the way, you can earn 10 cents off per gallon of fuel, and you can choose from a variety of the gift cards there, whether it's Amazon, Xbox, Uber, so much more. And today only, $1.29 pizza slices. So if you're going to go in and get something to eat, stop by and pick up a gift card. Use your Quick Rewards card. It is a one-stop shop, my friends, and that is from our friends over at Quick Trip. Joining us here inside the Bear Sunroom Studios here at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek, Marcus Handel, the bullpen catcher for the Milwaukee Brewers. We're just sitting here talking. You guys had a team that was a team, yet cultures. You had the bullpen guys that you had. You had the starters that were used as starters and used as openers or whatever you want to call it. Then you had the team itself. And as you'd mentioned, nobody during the call-ups, it was not their first time. Everybody had been here at one point or another. Everybody had familiarity. Travis Shaw said it's always like a family because it's always the same faces. You don't see a lot of new guys coming in. But then they did introduce a guy like Moustakas and Scope, and they made some deals to try to get themselves better. Scope didn't work out, unfortunately, but Moustakas did. But Scope still had the big grand slam. I mean, that, you know, helped you guys out. So what was it like when you added those pieces and you look up, as a player or as a guy down in the trenches, and you look up and you say, okay, David Stearns believes in us, they're going for it?
That's huge. Anytime you can see upper management adding pieces like that, small, little, how they are, even adding Soria, those kind of help. Even the bullpen that at the time was pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. I forgot about Soria. He was another one, yeah.
You know, the guys in the clubhouse are like, all right, it just adds a little different bolt of energy right to the guys. Like, all right, let's do this. Let's get on board with this. And, Moustakas, Kane, he had relationships with guys already. And, you know, right away when he came in, you can just see he had just – it was a different attitude. You know, it was a mindset of like, hey, we're not just going to play baseball. We're a mindset of winning. And yeah, there's a lot of great baseball players out there. There's great whatever sport they play. But there's a difference. There is a difference between guys who are out there to win and compete for World Series or a Super Bowl or whatever, or guys who are just, hey, they're good and they're out there playing the game. So he was great at pushing guys, building guys up. Yeah. I remember we had that tough loss in Washington. We had that long rain delay.
Right.
I think we're up 2-0 or whatever it was. We're in the eighth inning. We're like, all right, just close this game out.
Was it Chase that gave up a home run in that
game? Let's see. No, I think Soria came in that inning, in the eighth inning. And then we just couldn't get out of that eighth inning.
Yeah.
And then we ended up losing in the eighth, and then we lost. And so it was like 1 in the morning.
Right.
And we came in after that long rain delay in Washington. And pretty much, we're still chasing at the time. It was a kind of the whole rain delay, you're like, all right, let's just close this out, another win, and it's a tough loss. And I just remember Lorenzo Cain and Moustakas sitting at a table, and just in conversation, I hear them passing, and they're talking to each other going, man, the playoffs are going to be a blast. And it was like, we're like 5 games out at the time, or whatever it was, you know, and they were not focused. All right, we lost this one, the playoffs are going to be a blast. I can't wait. And so that became the mindset of these guys. It was like, all right, bam, next day, boom, let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. And it just kind of, that ball started rolling. And, man, you could just see it just kept going and going, and we built steam with it.
So you guys had won at one point, I think it was 13 straight. You're in the postseason. You always wonder when you take that first loss, when you're on a roll like that and everybody's doing the same thing, wearing the hats the same way, spitting the same way, you know, hopping over lines. What is it like when you take that first loss? And, you know, because a lot of times you'll think, okay, no big deal, blip on the radar, we'll get right back on the horse. And you did, but it does something to the psyche. You either rebound or you go into a hole.
Yeah, and the part of that one, that first loss, was we had the lead going into the eighth inning. I think it was 3-0.
Because JJ ended up giving it up.
Barnes came in, I think Cedeno came in, then Soria, then Barnes. And they couldn't get out of that. So then JJ had to try to get out of the inning. He got out of it, but then the next inning he gave up that 2-run homer to Turner. So it wasn't the fact that we just lost the game. It was how we lost, you know, with the strength of our bullpen at the end of the game. And then you're going, man, we could have been up 2-0. And then, like, now you go into L.A. and you're like, man, what's going to happen? And then Chacin just does a great job on that game three. I believe it was game three there, and he pitched. And anyways, you know, we win that 4-0 or whatever it was. And you're thinking, we got this. All right, we're back on it. And then we we fought our way, lost that long extra inning game.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, coming back home, no one on that plane thought we couldn't do it.
Right.
I mean, we thought we had everything matched up. We're like, all right, we're getting Ryu. We're getting him on Friday. We're getting him. There ain't no doubt about it.
And you did.
And we did. And I think we knew Saturday was going to be a dogfight. Just those game sevens. And, Yelich got that lead with us and that home run. And I think, here we go. And just got behind. And we just, I don't know, that 1-0, that 2-1 lead that they had.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, it seemed like we were chasing 10.
Yeah.
And you get those. Some days you can be chasing 10 and feel like you're only behind by one and you're going to get them. But
right.
This one-run lead just seemed a big one, and you could just see these chances slipping through the innings. And man, what a ride. I know after the game it was a somber. It was the most emotional clubhouse I've seen ever after end of a season. I know
when you believe you're going to win and you don't, that's a punch in the face.
It goes back to what Travis was saying about the family. There's guys in there who knew that they might not be a part of anything like this again. And you never want to take for granted, oh, next year we'll just get back to the playoffs. It was such a special group. All of the season, you're seeing the kids running through the clubhouse. You're seeing all this kind of stuff. I mean, it was not just the players talking family. It literally was the wives. It was the children. They were all a part of this event. And it was so hard, knowing. I know the tears. There was tears in that locker room, not because we didn't make it to the World Series, but because they know that they're probably going to be missing out on that friendships of these other players and their families. And man, it was a tough sled. I know Voter, when he gave me that hug, even though he wasn't a player, was hurt all year, he put in the work. He was still going out catching bullpens, and man, the tears in his eyes to see that this might be it.
Right.
That was the hard part of the end of the season.
Real quick before I let you go, we got about 20 seconds here for Coos for Kids.
Yeah, we're doing some projects with the Brewers. We did just put a playground in at MCFI.
Okay.
Right now, we just helped out here with your toy drive, and we're very excited to do those things. So, we got a bunch of ventures. Anyone looking out and want to help out, you can go to coosforkids.com, and we look out we're helping.
KOOS for kids.com. There you go.
Yeah, perfect.
Great stuff, man.
Hey,
appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Good to
appreciate
see you, buddy.
It.
There
thank
you go. We're going to go and take a quick break. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.